Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase had to take care of some personal stuff. He'll be back with us tomorrow on the program. He had to step away. Right now, our weekly chat with Chris Mason. Willie's partner on the television side, former Predators goaltender, now joins us. C-Mace, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Just looking forward to talking to you guys. How you guys doing?
Well, we're looking forward to talking to you. We're doing great, and I got to be honest. We talked about this yesterday on the show. I don't think anybody could have seen the bombshell that happened in the Islanders Lightning Game 1, right? I mean, to see Tampa do that to that New York team, that the way they've played and as responsible as they've been and how difficult they make it, that was surprising to see.
That was really surprising, especially the way that they closed out the series before. And then to come out in that game and then Tampa just runs right over them like they weren't even, you know, look, it was just such an easy game for them. But, I mean, that's the two contrasting styles. But, I, the thing about Tampa Bay is a lot of times I don't think they get enough credit for how good they are defensively. I think they're a really good, hard team to play against on the defensive side of the things. And that's why they end up with the puck a lot. And then when they get, you know, they move the puck up to their forward group, they've got, you know, one of the most talented forward groups in the National Hockey League, and the way that they play so fast, and it starts with the transition from their defense to their forwards. And I think you just saw probably one of their best games, if not the best game that they played all playoffs at the, you know, most crucial time against the Islanders, who, you know, pretty much made, easy work of a lot of teams and made them look pretty silly. With the lack of ability, I guess, for the other teams to create any offense on them. And that wasn't the case in game one. Pretty impressive from Tampa.
No doubt about it. What makes Kucherov, and I'm going to throw Braden Point in there too, because these two have been just so good for Tampa. What makes them the players that they are, at least especially in the Tampa system?
Well, I just think they've definitely got the freedom, but they play with such speed, finesse, and power. And I think when you have that combination, and obviously the skill level with Kucherov is just off the charts. And you know, Point's the same. He's not quite as flashy. I guess they're kind of flashy in different ways. But I think when you combine all those things and you have, you know, a lot of it is what they have built around them when they have the pieces that they do again. And to me, it starts with their back end, you know, and Hedman, and you got, you know, Zach Bogosian's coming in, and he's played really well. And they give those guys the opportunity and the freedom to kind of, you know, do as they please offensively, but they're a very well coached team. And I think it's a team that this year I thought would be very dangerous, not only just because of how talented they were, but because of what happened to them last year. And usually when that happens to a team as good and as talented as Tampa Bay, that, you know, they have a lot of control over what happens next. And I think after the disappointment when they got swept from Columbus last year, it's been sitting with them ever since, and this is their time for payback. And when you have talent, you know, like Kucherov, and, you know, Stamkos, Benoit, and Hedman, and, you know, go up and down the list of that team. Well, they got so many guys. They got so many unsung guys, too, that we don't even really talk about. But those guys, they're game breakers. Those are the guys that every game, one of those guys is on the score sheet, no matter what. And they're getting you the points, and they get them in the big games. And it's, you know, I was blown away what happened in game one, though. I did not see that coming. I was looking forward to that game just to see how the contrast would look with those two teams. But yeah, that was, Grice won't be starting this game, I'll tell you that much too. So.
I suspect you are 100% correct. Can you talk about just those, for whatever, I don't even know how you put a finger on it. You understand in the room. So kind of take us in the room. What certain guys, for whatever reason, wherever they are, team has success. Like Pat Maroon. Like that, it can't be a coincidence. Everywhere he goes, the team has, you know, success, and the team is making a magical run in the playoffs or making a deep run in the playoffs. Like, I just can't imagine that's a coincidence. Maybe you'll tell me it is. Justin Williams, how much he meant to Carolina last year. Can you just talk about having one of those guys in your room and what that means to a room?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at both of those guys, there are a lot of those types of guys, because they've had success and because they have such a good reputation, and especially for Maroon and Williams are obviously different players, but the roles that they play, whatever that team needs, you know, Tampa needed to be a little tougher and they needed a little more sandpaper. And if you look at the way Pat Maroon in his career, and, you know, he'll get you the odd goal too. He's not a bad player, but he's really physical. And he's one of those guys that just, you know, pumps up the guys, and he goes out there and does his thing. And teams that are successful know that they need certain types of personalities, certain types of players. Obviously, if you look at St. Louis, he was a big reason that they, you know, that they had the identity that they had, that they played like a lot like Craig Berube played when he was a player. Now you got a Pat Maroon who, you know, Tampa Bay, they're looking at their team like, geez, we had one of the best regular seasons of all time, and all of a sudden we get stomped and swept in the playoffs. What do we need? Well, we need character. We need that dressing room presence. We need that, you know, that guy, that physicality of that player that's going to make us all play, you know, a couple inches taller and a little more fearless as a team, a little harder to play against. And teams that are successful and that win have that element. They have all of those elements. They have the skill that we talked about. They have the solid defensive play that we talked about. They have the goaltending, but they also have that physicality and that type of player and that character and those players that are in the dressing room that, you know, us as fans and, you know, media covering the team that we don't see, but you do see the product of it on the ice and the result of having those types of personality. And that's exactly why they brought him in there. You know, he's not going to be the most coveted free agent every year, but teams know that you need character inside that room, whether you're a superstar player, whether you're a role player, that character and that, you know, the ability to make the players around you better in different ways. And I think he's one of those types of guys that, you know, makes everybody a little more comfortable and a little more tougher out there on the ice and a little harder to play against as a team.
I've said since the Predators were eliminated by the Coyotes that they need one of those guys in their room. You talk to, you know, you got a lot of hockey circles. You've got eyes that you watch these games and you know, around the league. Is there anybody that would jump out to you that would make sense, like this type of guy? Is there anybody that you've always kind of eyeballed and said, man, that guy, I would just be curious if there was a name that, you know, interests you that fits that, you know, that bill, what we were just describing?
I would have to go, I have to pay a little more attention to who's available coming up on free agency. But, you know, past guys that we've had, and I'm just trying to think, it's hard when you don't know the personality of players.
Sure.
Pat Maroon is definitely a guy that, obviously, he, you know, if they do something special here, I don't know how long his deal, but that type of player that has, you know, that presence on the ice as well as in the dressing room, I think you need to have both. You know, I always think of the best example of that is a player. If you could get a Matthew Tkachuk-esque type of player, I know he's not available for a couple years yet, but that type of player, I mean, and they're like gold. It's hard to find. You almost have to draft a player like that and make a conscious effort of identifying that as one of your, you know, just as important of a need as it is to find a, you know, a left wing and goal scorer or, you know, a puck moving defenseman or a goaltending prospect. I think that type of character and skill set is just as important as those. It makes, you know, all the difference in the world if you're talking about being a good hockey team or a great hockey team. So I'd have to look at the free agent list.
Okay.
See more of who is available. But somebody like that, that's cutting that cloth, even like the Tom Wilson, you know, that kind of player that, you know, just, it's just hard to play against. Other teams, like, you just, the other fan bases hate the guy. They hate the people. They, you know, other, the players hate playing against them. And everybody knows you would love that guy if he was on your team. If you were cheering for him, he's wearing your jersey, you would love everything he did. Matthew Tkachuk, you ask any player in the league, I guarantee you, every single one of them will tell you how much they hate him and how much they hate playing against him, can't stand him, but would love to have him on their team. And that's how I feel about a guy like that for the Predators. I think would make just such a huge difference.
Talking to Chris Mason, talking Nashville Predators, talking NHL. Mesa, with that in mind, this is a tricky one because Yakov Trenin brings some of that to the table. He hasn't done it for the long period of time that some of these veterans we're referencing have, but he brings those ingredients, and we like what we see. So you got a complicated situation, which we've seen from time to time before, with a Russian player being lured by his home country to play in the KHL. So how do you try to value Yakov Trenin? I think when Darren and I and Chase were discussing it, we feel like it might be worth giving him the one-way contract at this point. But then what's the money, and how can you ensure that you keep him in the fold? Because I think we all would like to see him in a Predator uniform this year.
Well, he is a player that I really think in that mold, and he really surprised me when he got called up, because I feel in the games that he played, I feel he was such an effective player. I feel that the physicality that he brought, I didn't really know he had that type of a mean streak in him. I know he's got a lot of skill. He's lit up the score sheets in the American Hockey League, and I thought he played some really good skill and speed and straight line, hard-nosed hockey when he got called up too. And it was funny that it seemed every line that he played on when he did get called up was one of the most effective lines in whatever game it was, depending, you know, no matter how much ice time he got or not. So I think that's a player to me. I think if I'm looking at the Predators lineup, that, you know, if you're talking about all these prospects, that I know everyone offers a different, you know, thing and ingredient to your lineup. But if I'm looking at the Predators lineup, that's the type of player that I think you need. And I think that he will cost you a lot less than if you went out and tried to address that via free agency, depending on, you know, the type of player. Next time I talk to you, I'll have a better idea of who's available, because I think this is a great topic. And especially moving forward for the Preds of who they, you know, want to fill the roster out. But I think Trenin's a guy who could have, you know, been impactful in the playoffs as well. I think that this is a guy, I have no problem putting him in the lineup every single night, because not only can he bring that physicality, and the thing about it is, I don't know if he can do it for 82 games. I don't know if he has that mean streak in him, or if he was just doing it because he got called up and he was trying to make a roster spot, or if that's who he is as a player. I haven't seen him enough in Milwaukee. If that is who he is, and he's only going to grow in that role, and he will embrace it until he, you know, climbs his way up the lineup and he's on the top two lines and he continues to play like that, then I'm all for it. I'm all for a one-way to keep him over here, because I think he could be a valuable piece. I think he's a roster player.
I would agree, and the tricky thing is, as we've seen, is the KHL creates leverage for a player that is willing to go back home. It might be different for some players. There have been players from other countries that have used the KHL for leverage to get a better deal in the NHL. And that's where you have to be careful. And the Predators would have his rights even if you went and played there. But that's, you can't go too high in your budget, knowing that you got some tough decisions to make with your cap as it is.
Well, that's the tricky part. Yeah, that you're right, 100%. It's all, you know, dollars and cents at the end of the day. But if it is the opportunity and the one way, you know, that Trenin's looking for, then, you know, you're not going to be able to match the dollar amount that, you know, the KHL is going to throw out to Trenin, and it's tax-free. And I know, you know, in the past, a lot of Russian players have no issue playing home. They like being there. They like playing there. But at the same time, their first choice is to play in the NHL. And if you could just see when he gets called up, and I know Scott Nichols just raved about his character and, you know, his development and how bad he wants to play in the NHL. And I think he really showed that by the games that he got and the way that he played when he got called up here. So you're right, though, the dollars and cents, mean a lot, but if it's a matter of a two-way contract or a one-way, personally, I'm not the GM, obviously, but if it's me making that call, I'm giving a one-way at the right amount of money. I'm not going to, you know, back up the Brinks truck or anything like that, but I'm giving him a one-way because I think he's a roster player.
Let's take a look at the Western Conference final right now. It's tied at one apiece. Vegas kind of flexed their muscle last night, won fairly easily. In fact, they really dominated the first two periods and then just sort of hung on from there. When Vegas is clicking, boy, they are impressive. I don't see too many holes in them, but tell me how you see the series. Does Dallas have a legit shot?
Oh, man. I don't, you know, after last night, I don't know. I don't think that. I just felt Vegas right from the start. I just thought they were better than everybody in the West. I didn't really expect Dallas to get by Colorado, to be honest with you, but Colorado had the goalie issues there, and I think eventually that caught up to them. Although Dallas played really well, they've had some goalie issues of their own. So I really don't think Dallas has a chance to beat Vegas. I just think they're too good, just from what I've seen with you know, the goaltending combo of Robin Leonard's playing unbelievable, and then you got Marc-Andre Fleury in your back pocket. Dallas doesn't have that. Hudobin's played well in the playoffs. Bishop's hurt. They had Ottinger had to go in. Jake Ottinger's first ever NHL experience. I think it was the third period last night. But, man, after last night, that was just a clinic. So I think Dallas is better than they were last night, but I still don't think they have what it takes to beat Vegas.
Just for perspective, there are a lot of Predator fans that argue that it's time for some sort of shakeup, right? Even beyond letting Craig Smith and Mikhail Granlund walk in free agency, or even beyond making a deal to trade Kyle Turris in some form. Some people are saying you got to shake it up. Maybe one of the core players needs to go. Make a big trade. Just for perspective, it's interesting. Sportsnet has a list of 25 trade candidates. And it's interesting because it's the same kind of list. You've got guys like Johnny Gaudreau on this list. You've got some big-name players like Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the list. Matt Murray, a star goalie. Brandon Saad. I mean, it's a long list. It's really intriguing. I invite people to look at. But it just goes to show that every team has probably got, unless you're still playing right now, every team's got a list of guys that they're not 100% happy with, or they're trying to figure out how to tweak their formula to get to the championship.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and it's, you know, you have to find the right partner, I guess, that, you know, what they're looking for matches what you have and what they're looking for. So I really don't think the Predators need this, you know, to blow up their team. I know that the last couple of years in the playoffs haven't been what they want. I just think when I look at their team and the personnel they have, this league is just so darn competitive. There's a couple teams that every year that are up there with, you know, the Tampas and, you know, a couple of, like, you know, maybe Vegas I put in there, but even them, they're no surefire thing. And when it comes to the playoffs, it's all about timing, and it's all about when you start playing your best hockey. I really feel, you know, you can't go back into the hypotheticals, but at the end of the year, how well the Preds were playing, they were one of the top teams in the league. They have the roster. They have the players that are able to get to that level. Mind you, the last couple regular seasons, there's been some really frustrating times in that where you look at the team and you think, nah, this doesn't feel right. It just doesn't, they're just missing something, or they're just not gelling, or there's, you know, this issue for too long or this issue for too long. So I do think it's time for some change. I don't think it's time to blow everything up and start all over again. It's just not realistic. You can't do that. And they've got a lot of long-term contracts, but a lot of long-term contracts they have are good. And some of them, you know, maybe not so good. So you have to find, you know, someone that's maybe in the same situation that, you know, you can get a, you know, if you're talking about a Kyle Turris, and you can get something, you know, someone's looking for, you know, that type of a skilled player, and you can get some grit back that's maybe in a long-term contract that they're trying to move, and, you know, maybe make something like that happen. I think it's possible. But if you're talking about moving, you know, letting a couple UFAs go off, you know, off and test free agency and do that type of thing, and then you know, overhaul 5, 6, 7 players. It's just not realistic. You have to do it. You can bring in some youth, you know, maybe make a trade or two. I don't know, two trades is pretty tough to do. And then just hope, you know, you draft really well, because this is the first time in a while the Preds have some serious draft picks in the first couple rounds, I think, which is huge for them. But yeah, that, you know, I'm sure David Poile's going to be on the phones working, you know, trying to do his magic and address. He made it pretty clear, I think, at the end of the season that there will be change. Just a matter. It's just not realistic, I think. I know what you're talking about, Willie, about some of the fans just want a complete overhaul, and that's just not realistic, I don't think. So, but there will be change.
Mace had my friends up from Atlanta this past weekend staying at the house, and we stayed up Saturday night and Sunday night till 3 in the morning playing euchre.
Nice. Nice.
Got my euchre fix in. We still haven't done that. We need to, at some point, we will have to schedule a euchre game.
We will, and I'll be down for that too. I love that game, and you can, and that's one of those games where you start playing, and all of a sudden, 4 hours later,
you lose track of time.
Oh boy,
yeah, that's exactly right. We looked up and we're like, oh wow, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So I guess we need to. But you're right, we did that for 4 or 5 hours. We played; it was great every night. So it was a good time. Hey, just like this. Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Chris Mason. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and we always enjoy our hockey chats with him. We'll come back and expand a little bit more on what we just talked about. And we'll take a little bit deeper with some of the news out there on the Predators' end and just to do a little bit deeper dive on that on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And I've been talking to you about them for years because I've been going there for years. They've been helping me for years improve my quality of life, and I hope you want that like I do. As we all get older, things start happening, and they do a lot of things under one roof. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff, they want to help you. And maybe you've been feeling sluggish. Maybe you haven't had any desire to get moving, work out, get going, just haven't felt yourself. Well, get in there and talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. They can check your levels, make sure everything is okay. You don't understand whenever those levels plummet that that could be affecting your moods, just the pep in your step, all those things. And they've got programs and things to help you in that department. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is vitally important these times. Maybe we've all gotten out of our routine. Maybe put on a couple pounds that you would like to get rid of. They've got programs and people there that can help you get going in the right direction. Cool Springs MD. If you would like to schedule a consultation or make an appointment, dial 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. They've got their big, beautiful facility over there right off 65. If you want to learn everything you need to know about them, what they house under one roof, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Well, we're pumped. Starting tomorrow, your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Going to be a little bit of a twist. Get your friends, get your family members, get your coworkers. Play along as a group. Make your picks tomorrow. 3 college or pro football underdog picks.
Ooh, did you say or pro?
Or pro. So college or NFL this year will be your selection as the listeners. You get to choose any 3. So you can do NFL games and college. With the uncertainty of kind of the college football schedule and how many games we get from week to week, we have added the twist of NFL games as well. So there's a full slate of NFL starting this weekend. Of course, the Thursday night games will not be available to you. But we will also do the same, Willie. Myself, and Chase, you're going to be, of course, back as the commish. Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders. And we will be doing either college or pro or both.
And obviously, we thought through this, and we are adding the pro games just to give us the security blanket of knowing that, or not, I don't know if we know, but giving ourselves the most chances to have a full slate of games to pick from each week, just not knowing what games could be moved, canceled, etc. So we don't know what's down the pike. So that's why we added the NFL for a little twist this year. So that is going to add a little wild card.
This week's prize will be a $25 Burger Republic gift card. Really good prize there. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or ESPN, the Game Nashville mobile app, and sign up now and make your picks starting tomorrow. We are pumped about this. Very pumped. Very excited to get silly underdog picks. In fact, we will do that tomorrow at noon. So starting tomorrow at noon, and of course, starting tomorrow, you can get on there and make your three picks, because the listeners have always been able to make three picks. So we're excited about this year. Obviously, it's a little bit more challenging than years past, but with the twist of NFL and college, I'll be curious to see how this season plays out for us. I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, we know it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I do.
You got me thinking, though. I've got to make sure I can find. I got to find the review from last year.
Well, we know Chris Sanders won.
The rookie, because he kind of ran away with it. He kind of made no fun. He did
know,
so
he
well
on all those. Big
he had some
games.
huge games. Big yeah. underdogs.
Big underdogs. So we'll have that tomorrow at noon. So you be on the lookout tomorrow to make your picks as well. So let's talk a little bit about what we were talking about with Chris Mason. So I'll play the yes-no game with you that I played with Tim Hasselbeck on the way out. So I'm going to list some young guys, and you tell me today how you feel, yes or no, that they make this roster for the start of next season.
Okay, I think we need to define make the roster, because you can make the roster and then after four games not be, you know, be sent down and never and not come back.
Well, just for the sake of this discussion, it's just to make basically the opening day roster.
Okay. Right?
Game one roster, okay? And this is today. So, there hasn't been any camp or anything. So, just what we're feeling today. All right, let's start with the guy that we were talking about, Yakov Trenin. What's your gut tell you today? Do they get this worked out? And obviously, if your answer is yes, they get it worked out, then he is going to make the opening day roster, because that is a part of the hang-up in the negotiations. Is the two-way
yes.
deal or one-way deal?
Yes. I don't think it's unreasonable for him to ask for a one-way deal. Mm. I think he did enough. I got to believe that could be worked out.
So today you're going with yes.
Today I'm going with yes. I think they are short right now. If they had a deeper pool of NHL-ready prospects chomping at the bit to get in, might be a little different. But I combine what he brings to the table, his unique skill set, physicality, etc. He's developed. You know, he spent his time in Milwaukee. He's shown flashes of being a very good NHL player. So all of that to say, yes.
Okay.
I think he's important.
I'm with you. I think they get it worked out. He's going to get a one-way deal, and he will be on the opening day roster.
Now, what you can never tell is him being pulled by his home country.
Sure.
Right? And maybe they offer him so much money that he can't say no.
Well, we've seen that happen before.
It does happen.
Unfortunately. And by the way, he took two bonehead penalties last night for Dallas. I mean, he was bad penalties.
Mr. Radulov.
Rats, yeah.
Oh, rats. But they wouldn't be there without him.
I know.
He's done well.
Look, you get
the
whole package with him. It's all the good, but then you get those games where he just has some knucklehead moments. It just takes some really – I mean, they spent – the difference in that game – look, Vegas dominated that game. You know, I know it was – we talk about bad patches. Dallas had a bad patch where all the goals were scored, but it was because they were on the they gave them, what, six power play opportunities? Dallas took some bad penalties. Corey Perry took one. Rats took a couple. They just had some bad –
That was a bad game. They got whipped. Penalties.
Yeah, they did. They just they were the score did not truly. It was not indicative of really how that game played. If you watch the game, Vegas, they dominated it. It felt like an 8-2 game, even though it was 3-0.
I guess
we'll leave it at that. Okay, let's go with the young man, Eli Tolvanen. Yes or no? Opening day roster.
Yes.
This one's tricky.
That one's a little tougher for me to answer. I don't know if it's tougher because the KHL factor is weird. But I think he's going to get the best shot he's gotten. When camp started the last couple of years, I just think he had to play so well to jump over enough people to solidify. It was just too easy to send him down. I think he's going to get a better shot this year. I think they want to give him a better shot, a little more leash to produce. Whereas okay. before, it's been like, okay, you're in here. If you play great, you can stay. If you don't play great, we're just going to send you back down.
And they thought
he just wasn't quite ready.
Okay. I, too, am going to say yes. Look, I've said this. I've been pretty consistent with my messages. What they need, and the other part to the layer to this is also, it's just time. It's time to find out, and Trennan and Tolvanen are the prime examples of this. It's just time to find out what you've got. Either they're good enough or they're not. You know, they've paid their dues. They've been down there developing and learning, and it's just time. It's time to know what you have, and hopefully it's all good. But even if it's bad, even if you go, I'm just not sure this is going to work out. You know, I think it's probably, in my opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong here, it's probably why they threw Kamenev in that deal, right, with Girard. I think they had kind of, I wouldn't say they were giving up. I think they were kind of like behind the scenes going, we're just not sure he's really going to be night in and night out, a full season, if he's truly going to be a guy that we're going to depend on year in and year out for a full season. And that probably, but it's time to figure that out, right? By the way, do you disagree with that, or?
Yeah, I don't think they consider Kamenev with quite the ceiling that they see Tolvanen. I think, especially when you factor in they were getting Turris, another center, which is Kamenev's position. I think Kamenev was a little bit more of a long play, and they were willing to part.
Yeah,
with him, whereas Tolvanen, I think, has been more of the. We don't want to trade him. We want to keep him. He's our number one prospect. We're going to be patient with him because we think the ceiling is going to be very high.
Okay.
And for the first time in a couple years, maybe they're not in the all-in, we've got to win this year kind of window that they have been. It's a little more tweaking and maneuvering, and you might be looking not only at this year, because I don't think they're going to give up on this year at all, but it might be a little less all-in. You know what I'm saying? Where I might be willing to trade my first-round pick. I'll trade a prospect like Girard to get what I need. Might be a little bit more of trying to stock it and get a little younger and retool a little bit while you still try to win.
Okay, so far we've been on the same page. My guess is this goes along, we'll probably start different, I guess. I don't know. All right, how about Rym Pitlick?
I think he's going to make it really tough for them to not have him on there, but I don't think there's room for all three of those guys, so I'm going to say no. I think he's right on the cusp. I think he'll play a lot of games for Nashville next year, but I don't know if he's in the plan from day one.
I'm with you on that. I kind of feel the same way, that he's not going to be down the whole time. He's going to spend time with them, but I don't think it's at the beginning, and I think, you know, it's when the unfortunate injuries start happening and they need to pull some guys, and he'll get some opportunities for some playing time. So I think out of the gates for him, it's going to be no.
I think he can benefit. He hasn't played as many games for Milwaukee as Tolvanen or Trennan. Remember, he came right from college, went right into the lineup, then played a little bit for Milwaukee, and then played last year quite a bit from Milwaukee. I think he's on a good path. I think he's one of those guys that could outperform his prospect status and could end up being a really good player. But I think he's one of those guys that takes a little time, he can benefit from more time in Milwaukee, but eventually he'll be there. But I just don't know if it's right now at the start of next season.
Okay, how about Philip Tomasino?
Now, that's the one I know the least about because I just, in my mind, assumed that at age 19 that it's, you know, he's on the path that virtually every other Predator has been other than Seth Jones and Scott Hartnell, right? That the road goes through Milwaukee. I will be pleasantly surprised if he's in the opening day lineup, but remember this. This is why I asked you about opening day, because what can you do with a guy who is coming out of juniors? You can play him for 9 games, see what you have, and then send him back to junior or keep him for the rest of the season.
Did we ever talk about that with Tolvanen?
Oh, yeah, we did. And, of course, he wasn't ready.
Right.
But remember, they could send Tolvanen to Milwaukee, and the other option he had would be to go back to the KHL, which is what we were worried about, right? But you can't send Tomasino to Milwaukee at this age. He'd have to go back to his junior team, where he's gonna dominate. You know, he's gonna be older and better. So that's the dilemma you're in with him. Is he may be too good for that league, but he might not quite be good enough for the NHL. That's what they're facing with him. So on that, they might take the 9-game thing. So I might say yes because of that.
Okay.
At least for the 9 games.
So are you a yes or are you a no?
I'll take a yes because you just said opening day. So I think based on that opening day, I say yes. But that's my caveat. It might only be for 9 games.
I'm going to go no.
As you say, they just send them back to...
I think it's going to be tough, but I think
send them back to junior.
It's going to be... A no. Keep in mind, he's 19, folks. 19. Okay, another young guy that they got in the PK Subban trade, Jeremy Davies.
No.
No?
Nope, I think he's just on the outside looking in. I think eventually he'll play.
Well,
I
there's
going to
be
intriguing.
A spot with Hamuse gone, and there may be another spot on that third D pair. So,
the third D pair is pretty open. I think Tenorti is one.
Okay, but do we...
And then
okay,
who's the other? That's the question.
Is Holzer back?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's not out of the question, but I don't think so. I don't think Yannick Weber is back. I think they're going to clear that
what
third defense.
What about Carrier?
Carrier is the guy I would give the inside track to.
So you would give Carrier the inside track over Davies?
I think right now, yes. He's put in the time in Milwaukee. But remember this, too. When you say opening day... You know, there is going to be a seventh defenseman in all likelihood, right? So who is that? Do they sign another veteran guy like a Dan Hamuse for an inexpensive contract just to have another veteran there? That's what I think they will do. So that to me, I think it's Carrier against Davies and probably a veteran thrown in there with Tenorti having sort of an inside track on the fifth spot. I think he's... I don't want to say he's a lock, but I think he's pretty solid there on the third pair.
Okay.
So I will take Carrier over Davies.
All right. Good little exercise.
Right, because then you got to assessing those guys is critical, because then you decide where do we spend what money you have on other veterans to make moves or make trades.
Right, you can't have them all up there.
If you have them all up there, then you're going to be a little bit of a youth movement here.
Well, there's going to be a lot of moves. There's a lot of moves to be made, too. All right. We'll come back. By the way, there's a prominent NBA coach that's looking for a new home. We'll discuss to close up shop here on this Wednesday. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Probably a lot of you have seen this by now, but Billy Donovan, who did a really good job at the NBA, he is one of those college coaches where it translated. He did a bang-up job as an NBA coach. So he has mutually parted ways with Oklahoma City. And I figured all the speculation would be him coming back to just a big-time college basketball program. But I was looking at this is according to FanSided, the five potential landing spots for Billy Donovan. They're all NBA jobs. And we'll bring Elijah in as well, Willie. I'll have you guys go back and forth and see if you guys can name the teams that are on the list.
Well, first of all, I do think that I'm a little surprised to hear that he's put it out there that I want to stay in the NBA.
I know.
Because if he wanted to, he could suddenly become the most sought-after college coach in the country. But as we know, college basketball has gotten very complicated, right? Not only with the virus, which there's all kinds of ideas being thrown out there. There was one today about from the ACC coaches, and I think Coach K is leading the way. Let's have a tournament in the bubble where every single Division I team is in the tournament.
Yeah, and I think it's been quickly shot down already.
I think there's been a lot of, like, what? What?
Yeah.
But that was thrown out there. But
I mean, how many teams are there, 350?
Yes, the 346 that would be eligible out of the 357 that are in D1. But
silly.
So I can see Billy Donovan saying, college basketball, you've got the one-and-dones, you've got the very complicated recruiting. Now you have the D-League trying to grab some players. They're making offers to some of the top players to avoid college basketball. You can go overseas. There's a lot of things. It may not be quite the same game that he left.
All right, I would agree with that.
So with that, who are the teams?
There's five NBA teams that FanSided has listed in order.
Okay.
As the best potential landing spots for Billy Donovan.
The now, Chicago Bulls have to be number one, right? I'll go ahead and fire from the hip.
Fire away.
Right away, yeah. I say the Bulls have to be number one. I mean, they're still one of the ones that are still looking for a job, and they have one of the youngest teams in the NBA. So if there's any team
Bulls,
that, I guess, mirrors a college team, it's the Bulls.
Elijah says, gotta be number one.
Has to be.
Gotta be. Well, no, they don't have to be, because according to this, they're number two.
They're number two.
They're number two.
Interesting.
Okay, I'm going to take the bait. Billy Donovan is a New York guy. I'll always remember when Rick Pitino coached him at Providence, then Rick Pitino went to the Knicks, and then the next thing you know, he's putting Billy Donovan in the game for the Knicks. But Billy Donovan is a smart man. Does he really want to take that job? But I will say the Knicks are on the list.
The Knicks are not on the list. I'm just going to go on and shoot that.
They're not on the list?
They hired Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, they're not on the list.
They did just hire Tom Thibodeau, didn't they?
Yeah. Which, it doesn't matter. Billy Donovan would not have been on the list, even if they didn't, because he's smarter than to sign up for
I'd like
that
to
nonsense.
Think that.
He wouldn't do that to himself.
Yeah. So what else you got? Bulls are number two.
All right, so I missed. It's your turn, Elijah.
You missed.
Ooh, let's go Pacers. Pacers number one.
Pacers. Elijah has a pretty good feel for this. They are on the list. They're not number one. They're number three.
Ooh.
So man. Pacers three, Bulls two.
Okay. How about the Milwaukee Bucks?
How about the Milwaukee Bucks? They're not on the list.
Really? There was a lot of talk today with the Bucks being out of what to do about Giannis. How do you create the environment where Giannis is all in to stay? Because the clock is ticking a little bit, and it's like LeBron years ago. You've got to show him that you've got the stables to win. And part of the thinking, at least from discussion I heard, was maybe a different coach. I don't know. So they're not on the list. So I'm 0-2.
List.
All right. The New Orleans Pelicans.
New Orleans Pelicans. Wow. They've got a pretty big piece there.
Very marketable piece.
Very marketable piece. They are number four.
Oh, man.
So you're going the wrong way.
Wrong direction.
You've gone 2, 3, and now 4. You're missing 1 and 5.
Incredible.
Willie, can you salvage and get one?
Philadelphia 76ers.
Philadelphia 76ers are indeed on the list and are number one.
Thank you.
On the
thank
list.
You, thank you. I saved face by getting number one.
Number
saved
one.
Saved us.
And the team nobody cares about, the Wizards. They're number five. He's
Wizards.
Not going to the Wizards.
They have more problems there than
nobody
just
cares about the Wizards.
Now, which of those teams would you take?
Pelicans. That's
you take
what
the
I
Pelicans
recommend.
over Philadelphia?
Yep.
Philadelphia's got some players.
Yeah. I don't know about Embiid. I don't know about Simmons. I just kind of feel like they're headaches.
I don't know.
I'd go Pelicans.
The only thing with the Pelicans, though, is the Western Conference is going to be loaded because the Grizzlies are great now. The Warriors are going to be just okay whenever Curry and Thompson are healthy. They're going to have the number two pick.
Like, but they got Zion, they got Brandon Ingram, they got Lonzo Ball. I mean, they got some pieces to work with now.
Now, that's very true.
Well, they have one. Well, I don't consider Ball a big piece, but Zion for sure is a huge piece. Ingram has become a piece, right? Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, most improved
player. Like, he didn't enter the league as a huge superstar, but he's grown into something pretty special.
Yeah, I'm not big on Lonzo Ball, but he is on the team, and he is, you know, he's a piece of their puzzle. I mean, there's no doubt.
Hey, they were sort of overachieving before Zion even started to play, and then once they got in there, the West is deep, though. Wow, the West is deep.
All right, that will do it for our show. Fast-paced show today. We plan on it being fast-paced tomorrow. Remember, Silly Underdog Picks at noon tomorrow. You have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us safe and sound tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.